What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Every kind of people, you are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike, and joining me in the studio this time every fortnight is Kelly from the Fox Glove Project. Welcome back, Kelly.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome.
It's good to have you back in.
Yeah, it's actually always, it's so lovely. I love coming in and I love the stories we get to hear.
We've had some, we have spoken to some absolutely incredible people living right here in Perth that are doing amazing things locally within their community, maybe in the state, but even right across the globe. It's just been fantastic. And today's no different.
I know.
A special guest. And good morning and welcome, Michael, from House of Hope Africa in Zambia.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's actually, it really is fantastic. And the thing I really love about Mike's story, which you're going to share with people over the next few minutes, is not only do you support this work in Africa and Zambia, but you live there. Which is a huge, and you're only back here with the pandemic implications and not being able to get back. You're hoping to get back, I believe, early in the new year.
I have a flight booked for the 2nd of January, so hopefully that one will go forward. The other ones haven't as such, but looking forward to heading back, for sure.
Yeah, that's really, really fabulous.
I guess, are you calling that back home in a way, I guess, if you're living there, right?
It's a strange thing, Mike, because the last 10 or so months, we've been a bit like, oh, what's going on here and now? But look, again, very blessed to be here, enjoying the footpaths, which has been great. But no, very blessed to be here, jokes aside, and spend time with family, get rejuvenated and whatnot. And I'm looking forward to heading back in January.
Yeah. Now, I've never heard of this. House of Hope Africa. Tell us all about it.
So House of Hope Africa, it's an NGO that's been set up in Australia and also in Zambia. My wife and I relocated to Zambia 7 years ago now.
And which is, must say, is a big stint. Even for a lot of expats who do go, that's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, not obviously the last 10 months in Perth with COVID and whatnot. But no, we relocated in 2014, and at the time we were pretty certain that was where home was going to be. We relocated there, sold up in Perth a year later, and made that our base, made that our home. And from there, I mean, as they say, the rest is history. But to share with you some of the things that happened along the way, we got there. We started to support a local church there with some friends who were pastors there just to help them out.
Yeah.
And as we were doing that, we were invited into a slum area, a compound area, by a gentleman. And Kristen and I always believe when you get invited, you go. And we went along, met this local man and his family and some children and some families in the compound area. And from there, all we did on that particular day, in fact, was actually just share a little bit of the word of God and an encouragement to these people that were there. And they invited us back and back again. And before you knew it, we were there half a day a week, 1 day a week, 2 days a week. We then were able to rent a little shanty that an old witch doctor used to have for a day. It was just all these things. It was crazy. All these things that used to happen back then. You think back to them now and you go, wow, they were the seeds that planted this amazing organisation and team that is over there now doing amazing
work. So you didn't
go
back with something specifically already planted, even for yourselves. You went back there as a sense of, like, we will discover this along the way.
Yeah, definitely. So what we did was we did a lot of the and an encouragement to anybody who's starting out now, we did a lot of the preparation work in Australia. So setting up the NGO, doing all the paperwork, doing everything for that day where it would come, where the organisation would come. We did all that. We set it all up in Australia. But the vision for us was get on the ground. Get on the ground, meet with the people, keep your mouth closed for a while and just listen to what's going on and see and feel what's happening out there. And that's how it all started for us.
And so what happens now? Tell me, what does House of Hope Africa and Zambia look like today?
Today it looks like an organisation where we are in the second largest slum in Zambia. They're called compounds, but the second largest slum area in Zambia. And we're placed in the centre of that place. There are no other NGOs in that area. They're all on the outskirts. So what it means for House of Hope and for the people is that we're there. They don't have to worry about getting to and from this place with money they don't have for transport. And House of Hope is an organisation that's a safe place. It's a hub on the ground for people who are the most vulnerable of the most vulnerable. We run education programs that include feeding, because you can't educate a starving sick child, so we do feeding programs within our education programs. We do medical programs within those education programs. The full family gets medical support as well. We run emergency medical support with the hospitals and clinics. Mm-hmm. We're working with a program with some facilitators who teach our women in group trauma counselling, because a lot of our women have got HIV and have had extreme trauma. They do individual counselling, but what we find is when you bring a community together, yes, and you do group trauma counselling, then they can build a stronger community outside of there. So House of Hope
is not completely dependent on you either, because no, if they've got this network of people in their local community, then suddenly there is this sense not of same shame or aloneness.
That's right. They know all these things that we preach them about family and connection and being one together. Mm. And this Christian walk and this Christian life, they actually realise it's not just the prayer, it's the care part. And that's what brings people together. So House of Hope, to be honest, it's all about empowering this nation to become the community that God's destined them to become, despite their past and their
love
history.
It. Mike and Kelly, we'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. Time goes quick, doesn't
it? Does.
We'll come back and so much to ask you back after this one. You are on 98.5. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. This is Everyday Impact. We hear so many great stories. Today is no different, thanks to Kelly from the Fox Club Project and special guest today, Michael. You prefer Michael or Mike?
Either way.
You don't mind? I get both of them. I get mainly Mike, but sometimes I get Michael as well.
So. I know I'm in Australia when I get called Mike, because in Zambia it's always full names. They don't abbreviate this.
Or they call you Mr., bro.
Uncle and brother a lot, yeah.
Now, you started House of Hope Africa 2014. You left a comfortable job, I'm assuming, sold the house. Why? Why would you even do that? What were you thinking?
I joked before, because we failed our psych test. No, look, yeah, so my wife and I, our backgrounds are child protection in Australia, in Western Australia. So I was 15 years in child protection and Christine was 16 years. We actually met working in one of the residential facilities, not as clients, as workers. Yeah. And so our background was always around working with community, working with child protection and issues and very volatile situations. So we knew there was going to be something in our life going towards more of a, I suppose, purpose-filled life, not just employment-wise. We went to a church service a few years before, in 2009, and everything kind of sort of started for our Christian walk then. And then a couple of years later, we ended up in Africa for the first time on a short-term mission trip. And that's kind of where the seed got planted in now what does it look like moving forward. So
where did you go when you went on that short trip?
We went to it was Uganda and Rwanda.
Okay.
Yeah, so I actually fell in love with Uganda. Chris and I actually spent 3 months in Uganda as well on our own sort of time frame, just volunteering with the organisation there.
Wow.
And I actually, in remote Gulu in Uganda, I said, Christine, this is where we're moving to. We love this place. And yeah, it was just amazing. But as God would have it, it was obviously a bit more south of that. And yeah, Zambia being a landlocked country, there's actually 8 countries around it. So we just believe it's the heartbeat for those other countries. And what can happen through Zambia is just could be quite phenomenal.
Yeah.
So getting back to it, yeah, we just knew our calling was to not relocate, but to do more focused work with these impoverished communities. And from there, yeah, the trips kept coming and coming and coming. We'd go backwards and forwards,
trips, yep. and you gradually felt yourself thinking, gosh, this is really where we're meant to be.
Yeah, I got home one time and you get a bit of a reverse culture shock when you get back because obviously the privileged life we live, you know, and we were doing very well in full-time jobs and whatnot. We had the house, the investment properties, the cars, the whole lot. But one time we got back and Chris and I sort of sat and just really sat and just went, listen, we keep going backwards and forwards and we keep leaving and leaving. It felt more like we're leaving rather than going now. So we just sort of looked at that further and that seed started to grow. And I really believe no seed from God dies. They lay dormant for a while by our choice, but they don't die. And so once we start to speak into that a bit more, the magic starts. Yeah.
So that's it. You pack up, everything goes.
It looks like you spent the year beforehand organising the organisation, like doing all the registrations,
yes,
writing your constitution, you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I think that's actually fabulous. Yeah. And then you go, and then a year later you sell up.
So, yeah, we go in 2014, and as I said, we're there. We don't come back to Australia for 15, 16 months until after that, because I think you need to be somewhere to really, before you need to, you know, you need to be somewhere to really get attached to that before have something to go back to. But yeah, we did all that. We set everything up. We had some great friends that work in business that helped us set up the constitution and everything else. And then we decided it was time to sell up the house and everything, and off you go.
That's a huge step, hey?
We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5. My guest in the studio this morning is Kelly from the Fox Club Project and Mike from Hope for Africa. Back after Whitney Houston. On 98.5, with me in the studio is Kelly from the Fox Club Project and also special guest Mike from House of Hope Africa in Zambia. Mike, a bit early when we first spoke to you, you mentioned that you were right you describe it as the slum, but it's called something else.
They call it a compound.
Okay,
yeah.
But you are right at an area where no other NGO is located. Mm. Can you just describe for us what that actually looks like?
Yeah. So when I say we're in the middle, if you were to go on Google Maps and Google our House of Hope Africa, you'll actually see from a geographical point of view the craziness all around it, and House of Hope is literally physically in the centre of this mass land. So for us, what it is so blessed. Somehow, praise God, we got 2,850 square metres of land, and there was this house building in the middle of it. And no one knew why this gentleman many years ago was building this thing, but it used to be agricultural farming area. Mm. And this house had over 20 rooms in it. And so what happened with us was we had these three little shanty 4x4 metre houses. So they were very obviously 4x4 metres, about the same size as this studio here.
Yeah.
And we had three of those that were running all our programs through. But it was in an area where a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of drunk people were walking through. There was no security. It was lots of violence, all that type of stuff. Yeah. So we couldn't keep people safe when they were in our programs. So we started to say to our team, look, it's time for us to pray, get up and find a place for us to move to. And one night, our caretaker woke up in the middle of the night and actually said in a dream he saw this wall, and he says, I know that wall. So he got up, and it was about 4 or 5 in the morning, and he ran to this location, kilometres away from his house. He ran to this location, knocked on the door. He says, I'm so sorry to the caretaker there. He says, any chance this place is for sale? And the guy said, I don't know why you're asking at this time, but yes, it actually is.
No.
100% legit. Wow. So we started to walk this journey out. Very, very long story short. We met with the gentleman, and what we found out was that the owner told us that the largest beef company in Zambia, the Zambian police, and two lodges were all bidding on this particular place. We went in and put a 50% offer of what they had, what the amount was on there, legitimately 50%. Mm. And Christine gave him one of the brochures that you've got right there, and said, please, if nothing else, you don't sell to us, please just pray about this and consider what it would do for the community. The next day he rang us and said, I need to have a coffee with you. I said, okay, I'll buy you a coffee. So we had a coffee, and he did this to my wife. He pointed his finger. He says, you, I don't know what you did, but we prayed. And my wife, with tears, said, we must sell it to this organization.
Wow.
And they sold it to us for the price that was 50% less of what they were going to get from elsewhere. We had this massive land with this building that God's delivered us. Mm. We were able to fundraise that through beautiful donors across mostly Perth. Mm. Yeah, that's the place that we run House of Hope now. So all of our education programs, our clinical programs, our legacy women's program, our feeding programs, our Saturday where the gates just open to anybody who's not even registered can come for a day of ministry. It's all open to the people. There's a 3-metre secure wall around that. We have an armed guard at night now to protect the people who are there. So it's a beautiful, safe sanctuary.
What's the impact been like? Can you see the difference in the community, how people are responding, and what impact has it made?
I'll be very brutally honest. Yeah. I see the impact, but I'd love to see more.
Yeah.
But then I get back with the people and they start sharing the stories of the impact. And I'm like, wow, we need to just celebrate those moments and those times. Because for me, I'm like, you know, I want to see this and that. And that's a lot of my training and background. But when I stop and just stay, as the scripture said, be still. When I stop and just speak to the people, speak to the families that we're with, you realize the impact's been great. There are children, there are families. I've got friends who continuously tell us the children and families who are now alive because of House of Hope and what God's done through them. The work that we do on the cancer ward and the malnourishment ward, there are children there today that are alive because of the support this organization has put in place, because of the prayer, because of the care, all the things that we've done as an organization, not us personally. There's people alive because of that. And I'll be honest with you, we hear a lot about you know, let's break the poverty cycle.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a dreamer, so I love that idea. But what we should be doing more of is actually just spending time with people and realizing that poverty cycle, it's all little chunks of things in their life, their mind. It's that holistic thing, you know, the well-being, physical well-being, emotional well-being. And that's what we're working on.
Amazing. Yeah. We'll take a break. We could be talking for hours, but we'll come back. We need to wrap things up. You are on 98.5. Kelly from the Fox Club Project. Special guest Mike from House of Hope Africa. Back after this. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike Kelly. He's with me from the Fox Club Project and Mike from House of Hope Africa, located in Zambia. Just to finish off today, Mike, really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
What would be your encouragement or your final tip for someone listening,
thinking,
I've often thought about, I've had this in my heart, but it all sounds too hard, too overwhelming. You started it from nothing. Mm. What would you share today?
I can't coin the phrase because they've already done it, but just do it. You know, I think that's the classic thing. Yeah. But no, look, to be honest, I really sincerely mean this. Christine and myself, we reflect a lot on this. And if you have got, and all of us do have this, if you've got seeds in you in regards to caring for people, getting outside of your comfort zones, all that type of stuff, you're never going to be ready 100%.
No.
You know, they always say nothing's going to be 100% perfect. So, you know, step out of that comfort zone now. And I would just say this, if you're thinking about it, if you're praying on it, if you're working towards something, if someone's planted something in you, in your mind, in your heart, that you just go, you know what, that resonates with me, get out and do something. Do something. Christine always says, when we first started, and even now, in fact, that's why even in Australia it's been a lot harder, because we're not physically doing all the stuff we would normally do. The team are doing a wonderful job, obviously, but we're not physically there. But she always says, you can get overwhelmed so much with the need that's in front of you.
Yes.
But just stop for the one in front of you and do something for them. And so if you've got a vision to help people, a vision to build something, whatever it is, just stop and look at what's in front of you. What have you got in your hand now? And I know we always use that in Christian circles, what's in your hand now?
Yeah.
But that's the reality. Take something out of that hand and utilize that, because that's what grows. You can't grow anything that you keep on the inside and, you know, hoard it up.
Yeah.
Step out and do something. And for us, our big thing was, you know, not necessarily physically buy the plane ticket, but get on that plane.
Yeah.
Get the experience. And also, I'd love to say to people, God doesn't use just today. He uses all of your experience. We've had so much experience, even our own personal life together, myself and my wife. We use all of that into what we're doing now. And that's why the team that's around us is such an amazing team, because they're the same. They use what they've been given to promote change and to move forward.
We keep waiting and waiting. And sometimes you wonder what we're waiting for, because you don't get that much. Most of it is honed. And I love what you said, to stop and listen. Mm. You said that right back at the very beginning. Don't go there to listen. Because I think that's the danger, is we're getting so prepared that once we land, we think, I'm going to deliver. And I don't think we deliver too much.
To be honest, most of our vision of what we thought this would look like back in the day actually isn't what it looks like.
Yeah.
And we're okay with that now. But just stepping out of your comfort zone and have people around you, you know, share your vision with people who believe in you. Because there's a lot of people who will say, because for the right reason sometimes, oh, look, have you considered this? Have you considered that? And I get that. But faith is a pretty awesome thing. When you step out, and the action part of faith is just an amazing place to be.
Yeah.
Just on that before you go, did you find that you had to think about, or you were cautious about who you shared your vision with, because of the people say, oh, that's a silly idea. You don't want to do that, Mike.
Yeah.
Or have a better idea.
Yeah.
have a better idea.
Was that hard to deal with?
Yeah, so we shared with a few people who didn't believe in what we believed in, and that was challenging for us. It didn't mean we didn't take on their advice or counsel on board.
Yes.
But I'll never forget one of my sister-in-laws, I'm sure she's listening, Colleen, she said to us, guys, it's time for you to share with us so we can come together around what God's placed in your heart. And we did that, and it was amazing what happened from that. So I would say definitely share, but go to people who have gone before you. Because they've got some, like, I'd speak to Kelly about what you've done in your journey, because I know there's fruit from that, and that would be able to help what God's asking us to do with the people we're with. So definitely speak to people, but try and choose people who can counsel you, because they've gone before and they get the need. They get why you wanted to do what you do. They get your heart.
And does that also tap into some other expertise as well? Like, you may not know how to do IT, for example, but through all of those connections, there's someone. Is that how you kind of broaden that as well?
This is fantastic Rwandan proverb. One stick is easy to break, but 20 sticks bound together are strong.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. And I remind myself, it doesn't have to be the sticks. Actually, you know, you look at a stick, they're all different shapes and sizes, and they're not exactly the same. You have to get hold of people like you.
Yeah.
But you've got to have people who kind of are going that same direction, have the skills, all those different diversity of skills, band together.
Because you can't be an expert at everything.
No.
We tried to search for this catchy cliche we could say with House of Hope, and then one day I said, you know what it is? It's together we can do more.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. We use that all the time, because that's the truth. You know,
together we can do more.
You make it sound so simple.
It is. It is.
Isn't it often the way, right?
It is.
The simple things.
It's so nice.
Let's not overcomplicate it.
No, I love it.
Just do it.
I'm a complicated person enough. You know, let's just keep it simple. No, and look, again, just follow what God's put before you.
Yeah, so yeah. Good. Mike, look, we are out of time. We could keep talking, but we really appreciate you coming in so today. Much. And Kelly, thanks again
for
all bringing you from the Fox Club Project, for bringing in special guest Michael from House of Hope Africa. You are on 98.5.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.